All right, so for tonight, we're continuing through the book, Nevertheless I Live, not exactly following every point in the book, but usually there is our inspiration, and we've been going through chapter 4, which is the 4 R's of Reformers, and so we've looked at that. It's based on the verse in Galatians 2:20-21, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And life which I now live in the flesh, live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And so we're learning about the 4 R's of Reformers, and we started that where, first of all, we reaffirm our helplessness, that it's not something we have the strength or wisdom ourselves to find the answer to our problem of addiction. Secondly, we realize our new identity in Christ, that in our addiction we've always had a shame-based identity, where in Christ we're new creatures, our past is forgiven, can be forgotten, we can walk in newness of life. And then last week we considered the idea of, recognizing the power of faith. Thank you. Yeah, sorry about that. Just with the power of faith, faith not in ourselves, faith in God, where we're looking to Him for strength. And it's a thing. It's not the amount that we believe in something that makes a difference. It's believing in the right thing. And that's the thing. When we put our faith in God, He has the strength to give us victory. And so tonight we want to consider the last of these, relinquishing self-ownership to God. And so that's where we're going to begin. And with that comes, when we try to understand this, because I think it can be, when we think of this whole thought of relinquishing self-ownership to God, that there's part of us that reacts to that whole thought, where it says, well, this is my life. And for me to just give that up to God, we can struggle with that. That it might be something, if we've been raised in church and we understand that, that actually it does make sense. That's something we should do, but personally it can be something that we struggle with. I think all of us do. And that has to do kind of with the faith aspect, to be able to do that, to trust God enough with our lives to be able to take that step. But with that comes the idea of redemption. It's something taught in the Bible, and we want to understand it. Because as we do, it helps us in this whole process of relinquishing self-ownership. And so, redemption is defined this way. And it is the repurchase of captured goods or prisoners. It is the act of procuring the deliverance of persons or things from the possession and power of captors by the payment of an equivalent. Redemption is to ransom or to release. Redemption is deliverance from bondage or distress by money, labor, or other means. And so it's the idea of something belonged to you, and then it was taken from you one way or another. And you basically do what is necessary to get what was taken from you back. And so you have different things where we use it in terms of commerce and other ways, but we want to understand it in that context, that it specifically has to do a lot of times with someone that is a prisoner, someone that is a slave of repurchasing their freedom. And so when we think of that, we want to understand this, that God created each one of us. And He is God, and in many ways that we belong to Him because He's made us. And because He's God, He has a right to direct our lives, and because He's God and He's wise and He's loving, He has principles for us to live by that, if we follow them, are going to bring joy and fulfillment to our lives. And it was actually interesting. I was just reading this morning in the Bible in Deuteronomy chapter 5. Just wanted to share that with you. This is Deuteronomy 5:29, where this is God's desire that he expresses. He says, "Oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever." That he's asking, boy, I wish they'd have a heart that wasn't stubborn, a heart that wasn't so rebellious, and they just obeyed me, because if they did, boy, their life would be so much better. And so that's what God wants for us. He wants to have a life that is fulfilling, a life that is joyful, a life that is meaningful. But the thing is we have that, all of us have that heart of rebellion within us, where we don't want to have anyone tell us what to do. That from when we're very little, it's like we want to have our own way, and if we don't get our way, we raise a ruckus about it, right? And it's the thing, is that God lays us out, this is what you should do, and we don't want to submit to authority, even God's authority. And so we choose a different path. And of course, we're not realizing what we're doing. We're going our own way. We're thinking, and we kind of think of that we're casting off God's rules. And when instead we want to understand them, they're boundaries there to protect us. And we cast that off and we go our own way. But what we end up doing is we sell ourselves into slavery. That we sell ourselves into a life of sin, a life of bondage, a life of addiction. And it's kind of the thing that there's plenty of authorities in our life growing up that tell us, don't do drugs, stay away from this, be responsible. And we cast it all aside and we do it anyways. And then we realize that we have no one to blame but ourselves, that this is what we've done to ourselves. And I just want to read this one verse in Isaiah 52, where it says, "Shake thyself from the dust, arise and sit down, O Jerusalem, loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus saith the Lord, ye have sold yourselves for naught." And that's what happens, that we sell ourselves to gain a hold of different things. We pursue after pleasure and other things. And when we get it and we find out it wasn't worth having, but we've given up so much in order to get it. So we sell ourselves for naught. But then it says here, and this is kind of where the hope is, it says, "And ye shall be redeemed without money." And so it's a thought that we've made ourselves captive, we've made ourselves slaves, but then there is this promise of redemption, and it's not going to be with money. And so, having lost our souls to the slavery of sin and addiction, we find ourselves that we were in need of redemption, that our lives have been destroyed by our bad decisions. But we find in that situation that neither ourselves or any other human resource has the capacity or the ability to bring redemption to our lives. That we often hear a phrase of sometimes where we want to do something to redeem ourselves. And sometimes you'll see that in movies and other things where you'll have someone that's like a really awful person for much of their life. And say much of the movie, but at the end they do something good and they've redeemed themselves and somehow canceled out all the bad things that they've done. Like, I guess one example that would come to mind is like with the whole Star Wars trilogy with Darth Vader, turned to the dark side, but then at the end of Return of the Jedi, he turns against the Emperor, and even though he dies, he ends up saving his son's life and he's become good again. And so it's this story of redemption, but we want to understand that's just a story, because we can't redeem ourselves. We can't fix the wrong we've done, the hurt that we've caused. We can't suddenly, oh yeah, I've caused pain and hurt and distress to so many people for so many years, but I'm just going to do this one good thing at the end of my life and I'll cancel all that out. It doesn't work that way. And we realize that. And it's as well as that nobody else can redeem us around us. Nobody else can pay any kind of price to bring us out of the life that we've led ourselves into. And so we see this in Psalm chapter 49, verses 7 and 8, where it says, or 6 and 7, rather, it says, or no, 7 and 8, yeah, it says, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him, for the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever. That no one has the resources to help us on this earth. And we're in a very desperate state. We need redemption. We need deliverance. We need our lives reclaimed from the destruction that we've caused by our addiction, by our bad decisions. But in ourselves and what we see around us, there's no hope. And so basically we're at a position where the only place we can look is up. And the thing is, seeing our hopeless plight, we understand God had a plan for our redemption. And his plan was to send his son to give his life as a ransom at all for all of us, so that any of us, as we go to him in faith, we can experience his redemption, where we're bought back from the slavery that we're in and the bondage, and we can be set free. And we see this in a lot of different places in the scriptures. Psalm 130 verses 7 and 8, it says, let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. And so it's a promise that he's giving, that one day he would redeem his people from all their iniquities. We see in Isaiah chapter 44 that sometimes when we've destroyed ourselves by our bad decisions, we kind of think, well, nobody can help me, nobody cares for me, not even God. And that's not the case. And this is Isaiah 44, 21, 22, it says, remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for thou art my servant. I have formed thee, thou art my servant, O Israel, thou shalt not be forgotten of me. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. And so that's the thing, God doesn't forget us. He's willing to forgive us all the wrong we've ever done. He says, I've redeemed thee, I've repurchased you to give you a new life. Again, a new focus. I'm reclaiming you from that life that you lived before. We see in Colossians chapter 1, it says, giving thanks to the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And so we have redemption, and we're purchasing it. It says there, through his blood. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 6, we'd see it talks of Jesus. He says, there's one man, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. So it was him. He was the price that was paid to ransom us, to reclaim us. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, where it says this, it says, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And that's the thing we want to see there in verse 18, that we were redeemed from our vain conversation. Conversation meaning our way of life. So when we pursued after pleasure and the things of this world, we got caught up in addiction, it was a vain way of living. Something that led to our destruction, led to emptiness in our lives. But we've been redeemed from that. We've been repurchased. And it's not with silver or gold, it's with the blood of Christ himself, where he shed his blood so that he paid that price so that we could be set free and we could be reclaimed by God. And so having been redeemed, we recognize it only to be fitting that we now live according to God's desires rather than our own desires. Because that's the whole idea of reclaiming us, is where he has bought us back from slavery. He has repurchased us. He has paid a ransom. That you think of it in terms of, out of just simple gratitude, we should be saying, well, whatever you would want to do for me, because you purchased my freedom, I'm willing to serve you all of my days. But even just out of the basic sense of the transaction, it's just, okay, it's not my life anymore. It's his life that he has purchased. And we see that in 1 Corinthians 6, 19-20. It says, what know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And so we belong to him now, that he paid the price for us. And so we do belong to him. And we see this in Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. It says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. So we really see the sense of that, that he gave himself. His life was the ransom paid to free us. And he did it so that he might buy us back from all iniquity, from all the sin and addiction and everything else swirling around in our life that was leading us to destruction. That he wants to cleanse us and now make us into a people that, instead of being zealous to bad works, we're zealous to good works. I remember there's a passage in, I think it's one of the Old Testament prophets, might be Micah, I can't remember. But it talked about the idea that a lot of times we do evil with both hands earnestly. Kind of the thing is that we have this bent where we want to do it and we want to go full in as far as we can get away with. Whereas instead this is the idea that it turns us completely around, where as much good as we can do in a day, that we're going to try to do that. Every opportunity we have to do something good for someone else, we're taking it. And that's such a 180 degree change from what we were before. But that's what he wants to do. He sees the life that we had, the life that where we're hurting ourselves and others, and he's wanting instead to experience a life where we're a blessing to ourselves and others. And it's what he wants for us, and it's learning to submit to that. And so that's the thing, is that we, understanding redemption and God's redemption, specifically what he wants to do for us, it isn't just some kind of theological, theoretical concept. It applies to us. And when we understand that truth, we want to act on it. We want to apply it to our hearts. We want to submit to what the transaction that has been made. And so we think of it this way, that we've long insisted on running our own lives. And we look at it like, how has that gone for us? And it's not gone well. When we've been in charge, things go downhill quickly. And by our poor choices, we run our lives into the ground so many different times. And so we keep insisting, well, I want to be the master of my fate, the master of my soul. I want to make these decisions. Nobody tells me what to do. Well, that hasn't gone well for you. When we've been in that rebellion, especially against what God wants us to do, it always ends badly. And the thing is, we have to understand, God is not our enemy. That we fight against God, and it's like he's trying to help us, and we're fighting against him. And the thing is, we have to trust his love and his wisdom. And that gets in the idea of recognizing the power and the importance of faith. Because we want to understand, because he loves us, he wants what is best for us. And because he has wisdom that far surpasses us, we can be certain that he knows what is best for us. Because we have some people that may be very well-meaning but misguided, that they may have their idea what's best for us, but they don't actually know us well enough to understand what is the actual best decision for us to take. But with God, we know he knows us better than we do. He knows what's best for us more than what we do. What we want a lot of times is what's bad for us. And so he's saying, follow what I want and you're actually going to be much better off. And the thing is, too, is that we want to realize that we have an adversary, the devil, that his entire job and focus throughout our lives is to deceive us and to provoke us into rebelling against God. And we see that from the very beginning in the Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve had this close relationship with God, and the devil tried to get them to act like, well, God was not acting in their best interest, God was withholding something good from them, and that he was actually lying to them. He's threatening them with punishment that isn't actually going to happen. And as soon as they took of the fruit, they found out everything that the devil said was a complete lie. But they persisted with that. And so we need to learn to stop listening to his lies. And the thing is, too, is that our lives may be a complete mess now, but as we submit our lives to God, he can transform us to be a help, blessing, and inspiration to others. Are you missing something? Okay. All right. Okay. Sorry about that. But yeah, as we submit our lives to God, he can transform us to be a help, blessing, and inspiration to others. And that's what we want to understand, that as we turn our lives over to God, that then we get to see, okay, what is God going to do with this mess that I've made? And then we see him start to heal things, start to change things, start to dramatically change our perspective, dramatically change how we respond to life's challenges. And instead of being this negative to society, negative to our family, we end up becoming a positive where others are helped. And especially it's the thing is where we see the power of God's redemption, where a life that was destroyed by sin and addiction, where he has reclaimed it and makes something wonderful out of it. You kind of think of that. There's so many different examples, but just one you could think of where I remember at the trade show in June where they had a fellow there that displayed an Edsel. I forget what year it was, unfortunately, but he basically showed pictures of what it was before, and it was just, things were falling off, it was all rusty, upholstery was all ripped, and it just looked like something. You might as well just call the scrap guy and haul it away. But this guy painstakingly worked and restored it, and now it's just like it's a beautiful car. And it's like, wow, these guys put a lot of work in this to see what they did with this thing that looked like it was just junk. And that's what God does with people, is like, people that have just rusted out or worn out, and most people would just say, well, that person is, their life is a wreck, and it seems their life is worthy to be discarded. Whereas God reclaims it, he starts doing his work, and that person is made beautiful and useful and fully functional again. And everybody says, wow, how did that happen? And the person can say, well, it wasn't me, it was God that did this. And it's a great testimony, and it can be, some can see the change in us, and they say, wow, if God could do that with you, maybe he could do the same thing with me. Maybe there's hope for me. And so it helps others to place their lives in God's hands too, because they see when God gets a hold of a person's life and that person relinquishes self-ownership, then great things can happen. So we just remind ourselves of this verse once again, just the idea that we live a different life now, and we live it by the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. He gave himself for, this is something that Steve Kernan said in the book, Lord, gave himself for me, not for me to be me, but for me to be him. It isn't just, okay, you're free, so go do whatever you want. Because doing whatever we want got us in the mess that we got into, that Jesus had to give his life to redeem us from. And so he's not just, I'm pulling you out so that then you can go back into the same mess you're in before. And so he's helping us, that says, I want you to change. I want you to learn to have my life lived through you. And so as we surrender to his working within us, his life shines through ours. Instead of being a burden, our lives becomes a blessing. And so that's what we want to discover. And it can be a hard step for us to finally surrender our lives, say, okay, Lord, I'm done fighting you. I submit to you. Do with my life what only you can do. But when we're willing to take that step, that's when things can really change. All right.